Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Chris O'Brien, you never heard of the Dero elevator, did you?
No, that's a new one on me. You know, I've always wondered, there's some pretty interesting, you know, buildings and elevators in New York. I have heard stories of elevators that if you hit the button a certain sequence, that it stops at an in-between unregistered floor. There's elevators that you can't go all the way to the penthouse unless you have, you know, special access, or basement areas are similar. So it wouldn't surprise me a bit if there was some sort of, you know, secret elevator at, let's say, Denver International Airport, or, you know, Sulphur Springs, Arkansas. What is it, White Sulphur Springs, with the hotel that you you have the big, huge underground continuation of government facility and all that. There's been some interesting news that's come out in the media lately about people kind of suggesting that the ruling elite since March have been stocking up their underground escape hatches, rat holes, if you will. So the culture has had for many generations stories about underground dwellers and areas, but we do know that the U.S. government has been very active underground and has established quite an infrastructure underground. To what extent, we don't really know. Of course, I do remember talking to a miner who worked underground at the Los Alamos lab, who claims his team broke into an ancient, what he described as at least 10,000-year-old workmanship that obviously was man-made tunnel system. And so this wouldn't surprise me a bit, Gene.
Well, you know, all the things we're hearing now about the admission that there really is an Area 51, are you surprised? About the influences of fiction, like, for example, I expect that Dan Aykroyd, when he was involved in the writing of the original Ghostbusters, and he's interested in psychic phenomena, was thinking about the phenomenon of certain buildings being doorways to psychic events or strange creatures. There was an ABC TV show called 666 with Terry O'Quinn, who you remember from Lost and Hawaii 5-0 as a star. It didn't last very long, but it was about this building that supposedly is, I guess, a residence for worshippers of Satan or something like that. So there always are crazy legends of this kind of thing, where you have underground caverns, where you have strange places, and they influence our fiction.
Yeah, like the Dakota on Central Park West, where John Lennon and Yoko Ono lived, where Lennon was murdered. That was the site of Rosemary's Baby.
That's
and
right.
There's quite an interesting history of the Dakota, how it may have been had some sort of magical or occult design work done on it. There's some pretty interesting sites around New York and other cities too as well that you kind of have to scratch your head and wonder, what were they thinking when they designed Washington D.C. or some of the other interesting stories about Phoenix, how it was designed. So this wouldn't surprise me a bit. Well, what do you think, Chad, about underground scenarios? Some of the largest underground facilities we know in North America are just up the road in Kansas, or down the road in Kansas. For instance, around the abandoned limestone mines south of Atchison, Kansas. Have you done any digging around for underground connections?
Yeah, we looked at a lot of underground stories, and I have to say I love the elevator story. Next time I'm out in New York, I'm going to be pushing that button and trying it for myself. So, but yeah, we looked at a lot of underground stories and connections. And of course, we know that the government has a lot of bases underground. We know that there have been a lot of reports of UFOs coming seemingly from underground or underwater. So their bases too. A lot of people, just hearkening back to the visitor, that a lot of people believe that the miners actually dug something up, that it released. It was getting so far down that they released this creature that should not have been released. And if it happened there, I wonder just how many other places around the world where, straight out of the movie The Descent.
Yeah, a rain of fire when, who was it, Christian Bale's parents accidentally broke into an underground lair of a dragon and released it in London, and they took over the planet and burnt everything.
Well, of course, it starts to read like an H.P. Lovecraft novel, you know, where you always talk about these ancient creatures from below the earth. You know, it's interesting. Richard Shaver told me he thought Lovecraft was putting factual elements in his fiction.
Mm. Yeah, I think a lot of these stories that are in quotes, you know, fiction, were maybe a little more science faction.
Cthulhu loathes Eugene.
I am not going on an elevator and pressing the basement button twice. I assure you of that. I am not looking for secret keys. I am not looking to enter a cave. And we used to have a joke when, years ago, we visited Major Donald Kehoe, the pioneer UFO researcher, near his home. He lived in Luray, Virginia, near the caverns. And, of course, Kehoe didn't invite us to his home. We met at a diner. And maybe we had some sandwiches or some refreshments. But we used to joke, this is back in the 1960s, maybe Kehoe's real home was in those caverns.
Mm. Well, Peter Davenport lives in an underground abandoned missile silo.
I don't think he's fully living there yet. I think he's still basically reconditioning it.
Oh, well, he wants to live in an abandoned
Nike Yes,
base.
He does. But if you remember the last time he was on the show, I asked him.
Right.
And he said,
well,
they were
still trying to pay for the door.
They had to do all this renovation. And eventually he'd be living there. Then we'll visit him, you know. We'll go up there and visit him. That might be fun. You'll shoot some video. Of course, we may not return, so that might be, you know, prior to the last episode of the PowerCast. Just think about that. I always think if I go on this investigation, someone else will be doing the show next week because I won't be able to.
You know, just don't go on an underground cavern tour with a tour guide named Dante.
I don't think so. Not even Joe Dante, the director. Chris, any more questions or have we covered everything?
Well, we have covered a lot of the areas that the questions address, but here's an interesting one. This comes from Steve C., who I mentioned was a lurker at the Paracast. He's not a lurker. He's actually posting messages and getting involved at forum.theparacast.com. Steve, shout out to you. Do you, Chad, find any similarities between this creature and reports of a flying humanoid creature a few years ago in Mexico? If you will recall, there was a spate of these sightings, I think in the end of the 90s, beginning of the 2000s, where these strange, I guess, witch-like creatures were seen flying around Mexico. And I've had a number of sightings in the San Luis Valley over the past couple, 3 years of a winged flying humanoid, kind of similar to a cross between Mothman and Dracula or something. Do you see any similarities at all between these recent reports and the visitor?
Well, certainly the ability of flight, and for some of them looking as though these humanoids have wings or that they're able to fly without necessarily flapping, almost as though they're sailing. So I think those are a lot of similarities too, the dark features of these humanoids, if you will. And that's one thing about the visitors, that we don't necessarily know what color it was. It was never reported, so we always assume that it was black or a dark color. Even at night, it would have appeared that way. So that's just kind of what we attributed to it. So I think it's possible that these things are the same thing that have been appearing for hundreds of years.
I don't know what to tell you. As I said, I don't want to go down there, but certainly it's clear something weird did happen, and we could always hope that when you have a book like this, it will encourage people to dig into their attics, and maybe there are diaries and other records of people who lived at the time. They can tell us more about what happened, because it just opens up the climate, and you become so curious that something is going on out there, and you want to see what happened. But I'll tell you, it seemed to have produced more evidence of this case. Once again, I'm going to raise it, and they'll be attacking me in the morning, as they always do. More evidence that this case occurred than the Aztec case occurred. Do you agree with me, Chris? I'll answer it on the other side. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast. Is there a secret UFO agenda?
Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes, revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we have Chad Lewis, co-author of The Van Meter Visitor. And I'll ask him to tell us something about his co-authors in a moment. But Chris, don't you think this case maybe has more evidence in favor of it than Aztec?
I do, Gene. And, you know, being in the process of just combing the archives and looking through historical research for old cases that go back to the Middle Ages, I think I've identified, for instance, the oldest known documented description of livestock mutilations from 1606 in England in the diary and court records of James I of England. I'm so happy that Chad and his co-authors have found this primary account from the time and then been able to build on it and use that as a signpost and kind of a pathways, to, investigative pathways to do research. That is one thing that's glaringly deficient and missing from the Aztec case. We don't have anything from the actual time period where this was alleged to have occurred that's part of the public record, whether it's a media account, diary account, journals, police reports, anything like that. In the case of the Van Meter visitor, we do have a very compelling case that actually gained some traction in the media. You know, my hat's off to you. This is, Chad, I've been going through this just recently here myself. This is a very difficult, even in this, you know, this wonderful age of the internet, it's still very difficult to do research back over 100 years like this. And my hat's off to you.
Why, thank you. And most of it, you know, was done just through digging. That nowadays, if you get a case of something, you can just do it all on the internet. But most of this was off internet that we had to dig through the old archives, the microfilm, the microfiche, and God forbid, actually interview people around the area.
You had to actually travel somewhere.
Yes. And that was the most fun for me, is that I think when you go to some of these places, whether you're out in the middle of the desert in Aztec where the old sign says where it allegedly crashed, or you're looking at the, you know, downtown Point Pleasant, West Virginia, that I think it's important to be at some of these places to get a feel of what may have happened or what they were seeing. And obviously, even if you go there and nothing happens, you're going to have a blast getting there. And that's half the fun, you know, taking the back roads, staying at these mom and pop motels that you might normally not have the courage to do so.
Do they have internet access at least?
Yes, they did. Very sketchy. The town doesn't have a hotel or motel. Again, it's almost as though little has changed since 1903. And in fact, since 1903, the downtown itself has shrunk over the years. So there's less businesses there. Yeah. So you can really walk through downtown Van Meter and say, hey, I'm in 1903.
Yeah. Sounds like you're going into the representation of a Stephen King book.
Right. It feels like that.
Right. Well, you're going into Haven and you've got everybody who has troubles. I can't explain that if you don't see the show on the Sci-Fi Channel. It's coming back in a month or two. And you just watch it and watch the mythos. It's really fascinating. Chris?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, in your research endeavors and travels through the history of Iowa, I just today was working on a section of my new book called Stalking the Herd, which is a case history and an analysis of the cattle mutilation phenomenon. Some of the earliest cases in the 1970s, prior to this becoming a huge news story and the panic and hysteria, really, that grew out of the events that occurred in 74 and especially 75 and 76, back in 1971, there were a series of very interesting pig abductions in Iowa that, in one case, it was 59 animals, and they were the best animals from the entire hog farm, according to the owner, were just swooped down and taken away, presumably by helicopters. Helicopters were sighted by law enforcement in the area right around the time when these pigs were reported missing. Have you done any sort of digging or come across any sort of information from the late 60s, early 70s about strange animal abductions or mutilation cases from that part of Iowa or Kansas, anywhere in the Midwest there?
No, certainly not dating that far back. And I'd be interested in hearing more of your research and the fact that, you know, 1970s, early 70s of these creatures being missing, especially the pigs rather than cattle or even horse. Was there ever an explanation given?
No. Military style helicopter with a strange circular white marking just in front of the tail was about as much information as was really present in police reports and a few very small mentions in local papers at the time. But evidently there were quite a number of these in the spring of 71 into the summer. And then it seemed to hopscotch to Kansas. There were some cases in Missouri, kind of northwestern Missouri, where animals were found shot in some cases, but mostly just plain disappeared. I have a theory that possibly some of the perpetrators of these particular controversial crimes, if you will, figured out that it was probably less problematic to leave the animals there than to take them and generate police reports and newspaper stories and that sort of thing. And we do see a definite switch in tactics as we go through the fall into the winter of 71 into the spring of 72. Then these animals tended to be cattle and they tended to be left behind. So, but if you do ever happen on any sort of documentation or stories, newspaper articles, mentions of early 70s cases, I'd really love it if you'd let me know, because I feel these early cases prior to the media getting involved could be really, really important in terms of possibly helping us identify the perpetrators.
Yeah, it sounds fascinating research. And again, I'm just very interested in these creatures being taken instead of, you know, found with all of their remains removed, the sexual organs removed. I love the fact that they're just gone.
Well, one of my favorites was the Alexander Hamilton case, of course, from Yates Center, Kansas in 1897, where one of the pillars of the community reported that he saw his calf bawling in the field and looked up, and there was this huge airship up there with a rope coming down. And it had been dragging off his calf, and it got stuck in the fence. So he cut the calf out of the fence and tried to pull the rope off, and the airship sailed along and dragging the calf, bawling in the air. And then the next day, I think it was found like a mile or two away, but it was missing all its innards. Just the skin and skull and leg bones were present. I've done quite a bit of digging on this case. And contrary to what Jerry Clark says, that it was, he was a member of a liar's club and this was all an elaborate hoax. The actual affidavit signed by the 12 pillars of the community, the banker, the doctor, the owner of the hardware store, very similar to the Van Meter case. The pillars of the community swore a legal notarized affidavit that they believed Alexander Hamilton's story and he had no reason to make something so outlandish up. So, you know, again, these Midwest precursor type sightings and unexplained events, I think, could be very, very important. And that's why I'm really happy that you and your co-authors have taken the time and taken the, it upon yourselves to go ahead and look into a very interesting standalone case like this. It is fascinating to go through the book and to read all the amazing research you guys did.
We have Chad Lewis joining us, one of the authors of The Van Meter Visitor. With Gene and with Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Before another autumn arrives, celebrate the closing days of summer with the first annual Blue Green Organic Summer Fest. Friday, September 20th through Sunday, the 22nd on beautiful Madeline Island, Wisconsin. It's 3 days of family-friendly fun and admission is totally free. There's arts and crafts vendors, a farmer's market, and activities for the kids. Plus, great live music with 9 bands, both regional and local, including headliners The Suburbs and Allison Scott. It's hosted by Blue Green, serving great organic food on Bell Street, on the restaurant and event center grounds. Sponsorship and vendor booths are still available. Call 952-556-8707. The Blue Green Organic Summer Fest, September 20th through 22nd. Madeline Island's never seen anything like it, and it's free. Like us on Facebook and visit BlueGreenOrganicSummerFest.com. Sponsored by South Shore Brewery, Fresh Key, Fry Wines, Freezor, Legendary Waters, The Storm 99.7, and 90 for Life Longevity.
Would you like to be able to disappear, to be invisible to the NSA and Obama spying thugs? Fortunately, there are still a handful of people carrying the torch for freedom and privacy. My friend Chris Peterson is one of them, and he made a video at privacyradio.com that you need to see right now. He'll teach you how to communicate privately, take your identity off the grid, and even disappear forever. Go to privacyradio.com now to see for yourself. Hurry, though. It's just a matter of time before Obama's minions have him shut down and this information is lost forever. privacyradio.com.
Is your dream more time, more money, or better health? Stop by our Longevity booth at the Minnesota State Fair and say hello to the GCN team reps and get your healthy energy drink on the way to the fair. Sign up for door prizes and find out about our amazing home-based business opportunity as featured in Success Magazine, located near the main entry to the State Fair off Snelling and Dan Patch Avenue at 1366 Snelling Avenue North, or call 651-261-2040.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
So if our friend, my friend of maybe 40 years, Jerry Clark, listens to you right now, Chris O'Brien, I suppose he will disagree, but maybe the next time he comes on the show, we'll talk to him about it, okay?
I will, and I'll also ask him about the conversation he had with another researcher about that particular case.
That'll be fascinating. Chad, before we go on, I wanted to ask you quickly here. We've talked to you, and you're just one of three authors of this book. Can you tell us about your colleagues?
Yes, that should be noted. Again, I'm just one of the three researchers, and the other two are Noah Voss and Kevin Nelson, who the media have dubbed them the real-life Winchesters from obviously from the TV show Supernatural. I always like to say they're the Winchester brothers, but badass. And they really are. They're researchers where Kevin's more into his research of American folk magic and the occult, where Noah started out doing UFO research and that blossomed into others. But we all kind of have that sense of adventure that although they're great researchers, we make it as an adventure that we're hitting the back roads. We're stopping at these mom and pop places. You know, we're down at the local watering hole talking to people, trying to get stories out of them. And it's, you know, really kind of gritty and dark, some of the stuff we do. So it's good to have other people there that, you know, have some expertise as well.
All right. Assembling these people and trying to put this together. Do you find yourself agreeing on everything or disagreeing? And when you do disagree, what areas does one or the other emphasize?
Yeah, I think when you get three people who have all tore into the research, you're probably going to get three different conclusions. The one thing that we all agreed on is that it was one of the most baffling cases we ever stumbled across, and that no matter how many theories we put together, we all agreed that we're not certain any of us are right. But I think it comes in where just our research talents may lie, where, you know, Kevin looked into a lot of it being an ultra-terrestrial, and he was looking into that of these interdimensional beings and, you know, tulpas and other things, whereas, you know, that's not really my field of research where, you know, I think it's a possibility, but I like to try to focus more on what's here and now. Whereas, you know, Noah brought up other things that it might have been just a cryptid of the time or a known animal that was misidentified. So I think rather than a lot of disagreements, we all tried to focus on our strengths and what we could bring to the research, where I think that's very important when you're dealing with a new case where there are a lot of dead ends. It's good to have that critical thinking of where can we go next with this? If we don't have this record, where else can we find it?
How long have you guys been working together on this kind of investigation?
Yeah, we've been legend tripping around the U.S. and the world for about 15 years now. And they're the core researchers that I deal with quite a bit. Actually, Noah and I just got back on Monday from an expedition to Lake Pepin to capture the sea monster called Pepe there, which unfortunately we came back empty-handed, but we did rescue a paddle boat that was stranded with dozens of tourists on it. So there's something to say about that.
So we have a Batman-like creature in your book, and you guys are acting like Batman.
Yeah, we got this call. We were on Lake Pepin, which is on the Mississippi River bordering Wisconsin and Minnesota. It's about 25 miles long, 2 miles wide. It really looks like Loch Ness. If you were thrown into Lake Pepin because of the bluffs and the size of the place, you wouldn't be able to tell where you were at, except I was able to swim in Lake Pepin, and when I put my foot in Loch Ness, it felt like someone was throwing pins in it. I'm from Wisconsin, and I'm used to cold water, but boy, let me tell you, Loch Ness is freezing. But they have a lot of similarities. But yeah, we were out. We got a call, a distress call, from a tourist boat that operates an old paddle boat, and we happened to have a big expedition rig, so we were able to swing by and make some huge wakes to pull them off the sandbar. And there were a few dozen cheering tourists, but put it all in a day's work for a monster hunter.
Let me ask you, amongst your travels, have you run into many cases where there's just nothing there? You look at all the information, you look at the records, you come out and say, you know what, someone's playing a game with us. There's no authenticity to it.
Yes, normally it's not where I think people are hoaxing intentionally. Most of the time, I just tack it up to being a folklore or legend. Down in Central America, they have a creature that they call the La Llorona. And it's this beautiful woman that would appear on the side of a riverbank and lure men into the woods where she would turn into a giant snake and devour the men. I think it was nothing more than women telling this to their husbands so they come home after work. But I would hear, you know, I would hear all these stories, and yet I couldn't find one credible witness who had, one, seen La Llorona, or two, that, you know, their loved one has been taken by this creature, the supernatural being. So I get a lot of cases like that where I love the folklore and the legend of it, but how much it's deemed in reality, I don't know.
La Llorona, by the way, extends the legend of La Llorona, of course, with kind of subcultural details, extends all the way up into the Rocky Mountain Southwest. Also, I've done a bit of digging into this particular urban myth or legend, if you will. And it does have, it's seemingly has a history going all the way back to pre-Spanish conquest of America back into Spain. And also there's a similar version of it down in the Mixteca lands that probably spring from some sort of Mayan tradition as well. So it's interesting that the legend has the detail in South America of a giant snake that comes out and eats you. Basically, up in Colorado, it's just a woman wailing for her children, and she's the sound of her voice is terrifying enough to keep anybody away from looking for her.
And if you were one of her kids, you would wonder what things you did bad for her to be wailing at you.
Well, the kids drowned. That's why she was wailing, as far as the legend goes.
And so that's half the fun, is watching these stories progress, that, you know, the woman who's lost her children out there, like, you know, the Irish banshee out there wailing away, and how it varies not only in different countries, but even in the U.S., in different portions, these legends have little twists and turns to them that I think are fascinating to research.
Well, in terms of the banshee, there's only five families that the banshees wail when one of them's going to die, and one of them's the O'Briens.
Do you know that?
I didn't know that.
So if we hear, instead of the Paracast, some kind of wailing, we better look out for you.
That's all right. I'm not worried. That's not my real name, so.
Well, that's right. Okay. Yes, we remember what the real name is. We won't go into that here. Progressing, let's look at the future here, Chad Lewis. Okay, so this book is out. We hope that 20 or 30 million people will buy a copy because it's a quick read. It's a fascinating book about a real wonderful, thought-provoking journey into the past to find out what really happened. So where do you go from here? Do you have some cases on the agenda? Do you have some travels that you've already engaged in and you're putting down the words to paper?
Yeah, I'm doing right now a book on Wisconsin sea serpents. Now, believe it or not, in my home state, during the late 1800s, early 1900s, we had several dozen lakes, rivers, and streams that were all thought to be inhabited by these giant beasts, some of which are still thought to be there today. So that's what I'm working on right now. Of course, every time we do a new printing of the Van Meter Visitor, we're adding new stuff. And eventually, I hope, with shows like this, that the word gets out where people start digging through their family history, that maybe one day we'll put out the final edition of it where the case will be solved one way or the other. And that's my main goal, is to keep adding evidence, because I feel this is a case that will probably linger on for many more years.
And maybe some more evidence will come. Like I said, something in the attic somewhere. Maybe you grew up in Van Meter. Maybe you still live there. But you have this stuff in the attic. Maybe Brad Steiger has it. He, of course, has a huge amount of information. He lives in Iowa. He has all the information. Chad Lewis joins us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
There are those curious about bitcoins and those using and making money with bitcoins. What are bitcoins? A bitcoin is the first decentralized currency that can be easily transferred from person to person over the internet. No bank needed. This means lower fees, and accounts can never be frozen, limited, or closed. You are in control of your money. And the best part? You can start earning and making money with bitcoins right away. No computer or expertise is required to earn money with bitcoins, and a growing number of merchants now accept bitcoins. Plus, they're easily exchanged for dollars, euros, and more. Learn more about the easiest, cheapest, most profitable way to enter the Bitcoin market and get paid every 2 weeks by one of the fastest growing Bitcoin miners in the world at cloudhashing.com. Just like it sounds, cloudhashing.com. That's cloudhashing.com. We mine your business.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care. Chiropractic done right.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, Chad Lewis joins us. I assume then that you and your crew have come in contact with Brad Steiger from time to time.
Yes, especially being that he's from Iowa, lives in Iowa. We had him do the foreword for the Band Meter Visitor, and he had actually talked briefly about it or written about it in one of his books, a small little paragraph that appeared out of a New York paper. And he recalled that when we talked to him about it, and he was just very, very glad to help out, knowing that this was going to get a full-length book. But obviously, when you can use Brad as a encyclopedia of knowledge dating back decades, it's a real treasure. I mean, some of these things I'd rather have a researcher that with the credibility of Mr. Steiger than I would Google.
Well, of course, he's written, what, 2,000 books or something like that?
You know, I think he's on 2,500 now.
No, actually, I think it's like 170, but who's counting?
Right.
You know, I don't do that. I actually wrote over 30 books, but I reached a point where I said, you know what, this isn't really paying off for the amount of work you've got to do. There has to be a better way to make a living. And I said, well, I talk a lot, so here I am, for better or worse. Would you ever consider collecting anything in the UFO realm? Obviously, you're interested in the subject. You've covered it. Are you ever interested in trying to give your slant to what's causing UFOs to appear?
Well, certainly I've done a lot of UFO research and abduction research. That's when I started out. I started picking the brain of researchers, you know, 20 years ago when I was talking to John Carpenter, the abduction researcher, not the director, and others, where I brought him to Wisconsin to compare notes. And I've written several stories in some of my other books about specific cases, but I love the field of UFO research because, again, it's always changing. And I hate to sound like a broken record, but because I'm puzzled by so many of these things that I just don't have the answers, maybe that's what keeps me going, especially in the field of UFOs, where it's easy to get bogged down in every book coming out about Roswell and the same few cases. But when you get these new cases, I think that's where the fun and excitement come together.
Also, I think we've reached a point with some of these old cases where there's just no more evidence to find right now.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, we mentioned one, and I won't mention that name again, Aztec, that I don't see how they're going to find more information. I am delighted to be proven wrong, by the way. I'm not dogmatic about the case. I just think we've given it fair coverage, and it doesn't pass muster. But there are so many things happening. I mean, if you pick up a copy of MUFON's journal, and you see, almost every issue, there is an interesting sighting. So people are still having sightings, and these sightings are not dredging up old reports, but fairly new cases. I mean, in 2012, especially the first early part of the year, and late 2011, there were lots and lots of cases. So you have to think, even though people will say, well, the UFOs have left us, they sure haven't, not based on that particular publication or some of the others.
Yeah, it's amazing when you find that people are experiencing these things, thousands of them, and may not get the media attention it once did. But yeah, if you grab the MUFON Journal, you'd be amazed at how many credible sightings are taking place all over the U.S. Or if you go to, as you guys mentioned earlier, Peter Davenport's place, his website there, it's amazing how many people are still seeing things.
And the thing a person like you, who has, I think, a more enlightened viewpoint, will discover is when you go to a place where people see UFOs, and I can't help but emphasize this again and again, as Chris says, that you will always or invariably see that people have seen other strange things in or around the UFO encounters. But if your questionnaire covers UFOs, not what else have you seen that's strange lately, you'll never learn about that. It's like living in a tunnel, speaking of tunnels.
That's an amazing point, and I agree completely with that. When we're researching a case, whether it's a haunting or UFOs, we always throw out there that while we're, let's say it's a UFO, we'll always say, well, anything else weird, you know, hauntings, cattle mutilations, just anything out of the ordinary. And it's amazing when you ask people sometimes about what you're investigating, and they say, nope, never heard of that. And then you bring up other things, and they'll say, oh, but you might be interested in this.
That shouldn't hold only to paranormal-type events. I also look for aberrant social behavior, weird weather, strange series of synchronicities and coincidences, any number of a litany of things that can occur that may give us some sort of insight into a wave of activity, and it tends to be multidiscipline-type activity as well.
I figure we're waiting for you, Chad, to say something.
Oh, okay. I thought you'd jump in again there. I agree 100% that you have to expand what you're asking about. And oftentimes it may not happen right away. It may be a witness can't think of anything or recall it. But as the days go on, they may contact you and say, you know, I don't know if this really fits, but you might be interested in what happened here. And I think sometimes if you're just too focused in on one thing where some people, that's their main focus of one case, I think you might lose out on some of these other areas.
And the thing is here, look, after all these years that we've been studying, say, UFOs, we have gone nowhere. Take a book from the 1950s from Kehoe and other people, Edward Ruppelt, and read the contents, read about the cases, and tell me if we know anything more about the phenomenon today than we did 60 years ago. If you can tell me that, well, maybe I'm wrong. But I don't see it. And I think if we open our eyes to a wide and wonderful and sometimes frightening paranormal world out there, we're going to discover that a lot of crazy things are going on under our very noses. And certainly the mainstream media doesn't know about it because they're too busy with silly political talk, mindless political talk about stuff that sometimes doesn't even make any sense. And they don't explore what's going on in this country. We can talk about that on a different show. And what's going on in our world with all these weird things going on. But it's certainly an upfront and personal experience to anybody who has these encounters everywhere. Do you find, for example, and this is one of the last questions we'll be asking on the episode, do you find, Chad, that people after having these experiences are just really bummed out, they're frightened?
Yeah, I think a lot of the people that I've encountered that have had experiences are one, they're logical, rational, down-to-earth people, and they're trying to solve it, that they've had something unexplained happen to them that may have caused a ripple in their belief systems or their outlook on life, and they're trying to piece the puzzle together. And in a way, they're doing the same thing I think all of us are doing, that they're just trying to find answers to what really happened to them.
Do you think in your lifetime we will find those answers? I'm sort of feeling jaded over it. I think Chris is a mite more optimistic because, of course, he's a young whippersnapper.
I'm right in your backyard there. I don't think so. You hit it home when you talked about the UFO research, that just digging back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, they were reporting the same things we're seeing now. They had no idea what was going on. And it's very frustrating because 100 years from now, it may be the same thing. But I think in my lifetime, we certainly won't know. And maybe we're not meant to. I don't know.
Flying saucers are here to make us think. Think about what? That's another possibility, and also the possibility that we're looking at a cultural phenomenon, and that as we expand our horizons, what we see won't be flying saucers anymore. But that, of course, goes against the grain, because if you're going to assume that UFOs are really just spaceships, well, you expect that eventually they'll stage a mass landing and let us know who or what they are. But if it's a cultural phenomenon, maybe part of our collective unconscious, I don't know, maybe still an external reality, how could you know where it's going to end or shape it's going to take? Chad Lewis, please tell our listeners where they can find more of the things that you do.
Sure. Best way to go is thebandmetervisitor.com.
And by the way, we have a link to that site where you learn more about the authors, and you can buy an autographed copy of the book, The Van Meter Visitor. Chris O'Brien, tell us more about where we can find your stuff.
Well, it's a strange planet we live in, as we again found out today, and it's ourstrangeplanet.com.
And he's always adding content to the site, and he's going to add a feature where you can buy his books real soon. Of course, Stalking the Herd will be out, I guess, October. So stay tuned for that and place your advance orders. And we'll try to work out something with Chris so he gets you autographed copies, by the way. You can find us on Twitter, where we're known as The Paracast. We are The Paracast on Twitter. If you go to theparacast.com, you can check out our forums, check out the shows, download every single episode going back to 2006, the first one. Chad Lewis, thank you so much for joining us this week on The Paracast.
Hey, keep an eye out.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Alabama, it's coming, and it's the event you and your family will not want to miss. The Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, Saturday and Sunday, September 7th and 8th, at the newly renovated Oxford Civic Center in Oxford, Alabama, where admission is totally free. There's something for everyone. Free classes and seminars on topics like food preparation, food harvesting, and food preservation. Free giveaways every 30 minutes. You could win seed kits, food, doTERRA oil, starter kits, water filters, and more, including a year's supply of food. Guest speakers include Bob from Black Dog Survival School, Mike from White Harvest Seeds, Dr. Tom Stoner from Dr. MedKits, and more. And be sure to stop by and check out the Youngevity booth, the Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, September 7th and 8th, a weekend of education and preparation that's totally free to attend. Don't forget, the Country Inn and Suites in Oxford has special rates available for those who attend the expo. Get all the details at thesouthernpreppers.com. That's thesouthernpreppers.com.